Tantrum House Board Game Podcast is recorded live from Studio WKRB in Greenville, South Carolina. This podcast is brought to you by our friendly local game store, Boardwalk, purveyors of fine games, Bezier Games, the new classics, Final Frontier Games, bringing friends and families closer together, The Game Steward, your second chance at Kickstarter games, and Game Toppers LLC, upgrading your gaming experience. Your hosts are Prognosticator Supreme, peering into the swirling mist of future Kickstarters and glimpsing the diamonds in the rough. So buckle up, seriously, especially if you're driving right now, because you're about to arrive at the Tantrum House.
Hello, hello, and welcome to the show. Today we've got Will Meadows.
Sarah Meadows.
Kevin Delp.
Melissa Delp.
Jonah Dew.
Kate Mills.
The house.
The houses.
You can tell it's the houses because we can't ever synchronize the hello. We're excited to be able to hang out, though. We didn't get to record on our normal night, so we are pulling it off, you know, COVID style, where we are all in different locations and going to talk about some fun games tonight. We've got our new segment that'll be coming up in a little bit and plenty of Kickstarter games to talk about this week, which will be exciting. But why don't we talk first about some of the stuff that we've been playing?
I was going to say, finally, for Will, he gets to talk about the games he's wanted to talk about for the past 3 weeks.
Is this the episode?
It is.
This is the episode.
I can't wait. All right, good.
Melissa and I were able to get Wingspan back to the table. This is one of our, this was the game of the year for Tantrum House back in 2019. So... Mm-hmm. You know...
Make it sound so long ago, Kevin.
Well, yes, it was the... You know, it was a while ago, but we got it back to the table finally with the European expansion, and it's hard to bring games that have been out for a while back to the table, but we enjoyed it. We got to actually teach someone who's never played it before, and which is kind of interesting since it's been out for a while. So we played that, and Melissa won. Melissa won. I could have... Yeah, my end game just wasn't there. Melissa did really well on the goals, so.
Good job, Melissa.
I think you're forgetting. We played this at our 12-hour gaming marathon.
Thank you, Sarah. I did forget.
It's because we pre-recorded it, so it's like it never even happened.
That's right.
Melissa and I also got Nevada City to the table, and this is a new game from Rio Grande Games, and if you've not heard about this game yet, you need to go at least check the artwork on the cover art, because Rio Grande has turned to their next chapter, and they have basically...
Is it pretty?
It is a pretty brilliant cover. I know we've made a little poke at them in the past.
It's so off-brand for them.
But, I mean, you need to look at the board game cover for Nevada City, because, like,
Sarah's pulling
wow.
it up right now.
I'm pulling it up. Wow, I don't.
You gotta look at it. We gotta look at this. It's really, like, very, very nice. I think it looks good with the theme, and it is a worker placement game for 2 to 4 players, and Melissa and I were able to play this over the weekend. The game time says 90 to 120 minutes. I would say for your first time, set aside 3 hours.
Woo. I think it was about 3 hours. I mean, you were learning it and teaching it and looking things up again in the rule book.
So this is a worker placement game, but the cool thing is everyone starts with a family, and they have four in their family, mom, pa, son, and daughter. And the interesting thing about this worker placement game is that each family member has a different number of action tokens, action markers.
Interesting.
So the father could have 3 or 4 action markers. Oh, and every family is different. It's an asymmetric family compared to Melissa's family. So, like, my father figure could have, like, 3 action cues, but Melissa's could have 4. The nice thing is that everyone's, like, equals out to, like, I think it's, like, 12 to 14 action cues. But some family members might have 1. Some might have 2, some might have 3. So I thought that was interesting. So on your turn, you're going to take 1 family member, and you're basically going to take all your action markers and play them out on the board. So
so that's interesting. So on my turn, I might be taking 4 actions if I use the family member with 4 tokens. But then when Kevin takes his turn, he might only be taking two actions.
Yeah.
So the flow of the game is interesting, where it's not the same number of actions for each player.
Many of you can't really get in a lot of worker placement games, it's like, if I go here, sort of like no one else can go there. Sort of like things like Lords of Waterdeep or things like games like that. In this game, all the spots are open in a sense, but they're going to cost less the earlier that you can get to those spaces. And that is the one key thing. I think that's
the benefit.
Yeah, the benefit could be better earlier you can get there, which I think is the strategy of the game. Not only what you're going to try and build in the game, but when I'm going to get the resources to do the buildings, to do that kind of stuff. So, yeah, I'm interested in playing the advanced version. I've heard that the advanced version is the actual, they said, that's the game. When I was talking to Rio Grande, if you need to play the advanced version, because Nevada City was made for the advanced version. So, I'm okay, definitely. And I really enjoyed it, so... kudos. Did you guys look at the cover?
I did, yeah. I'll admit that when I first saw the cover, I was like, it's better, but the components look really cool. Like the little pop-up, I don't know what you call that thing, wooden arch thing, and the board game components. Yeah, it looks like the whole package, so that's cool.
Yeah. The arch is cardboard, so you're putting it together, so it's not wooden. But,
it's supposed to replicate
one.
Yeah,
it has
wooden, I don't know what those things are called, I don't know what it's called. Like you see when you're entering a camp.
I got you. Yeah, it's cool. That literally is all aesthetic. There is nothing that you need that in the game for, but it's cool.
Right. That, good. Props to them for finally considering the aesthetics. Anybody else play anything fun this week?
Yeah. Chantel and I were able to get Cartographers to back to the table.
Ooh, all right.
A family favorite over here. Well, let me say this. It's Chantel's family favorite, not mine, because I have still yet to win a game of Cartographers. I can't. I'm convinced that if I have to draw at all in the game, I can't win. I can't win it. If it's got any sort of drawing in it. If I have to pick up a pencil during the game, I can't win.
Exactly.
So anyway, but no, that was super fun. We actually were able to play it with some friends and teach them how to play. It was their first time playing. And so we were playing and teaching and had a good time. And I won't tell you my final score because it was pitiful, but it was fun. I had a good time.
That's what we're here for, right? Love it. That's cool. Katie, I heard that Ryan is not here tonight because he's busy playing games. I guess that's the only legitimate excuse you can have, right?
Yeah. What? Yeah, he is the game master for his Pathfinder group, and they had previously planned for this evening. So they're invading a city right now. So I had to move to another room so that we didn't hear the invasion happening in the background.
The battle cries. I know that might be pretty interesting.
Yes.
If it gets really exciting, you may have to move closer just so we can catch a glimpse.
Yeah, I don't know. But yeah, we've been playing a few games here and there with a few people, slowly getting back together. Ryan and I have introduced Tiny Towns to some of our friends who had never played it before. They really enjoyed it. It was fun. I never win Tiny Towns. I enjoy it so much, but I haven't won yet. Starting to think maybe I'm really
Didn't you get on the live with that? I mean, it would be hard to win against AEG employees who play it every single
day and they've played tested
it 100 times, I'm sure.
Yeah,
interesting.
Well, of course I don't win against them, but I also don't win against Ryan or beginner players either. I'm doing something fundamentally wrong when I play Tiny Towns. I don't know what it is, but we also play.
All right, listeners, if you've got any winning strategies, share with Katie.
Yeah.
Oh, cool. Call to Adventure?
True. Yeah, we played Call to Adventure with those same friends. They had not played that one either, and they really enjoyed that as well. So, yeah.
Fun
Been
stuff.
Having a good time.
Well, cool. Should we give a shout-out to our sponsors?
This episode is sponsored in part by our friendly Kevin Berkey with Game Toppers LLC. We always have to give a big shout out to him and thankful for his participation in our Kickstarter for Game Mats. And they will be available for late pledge if you did not back our Kickstarter campaign. And there's two different size options. So if you want either a smaller table or a bigger table, we have the size for you.
I'm actually pretty excited about those. I work at my desk all day, and I actually have like a neoprene mat that I just have on my desktop that my laptop sits on, just so it's like softer for my arms to rest on, and I'm ready to swap it out for my new Game Topper one.
Awesome.
Should we roll from this into the news?
Let's do it.
So this week for the news, we have a Spilled Yars winner that has been announced. That is the Kinnerspiel. And the game that won is Hedgehog Roll. For those of you that don't know German, the Kinnerspiel is the game of the year for children. This game looks quite amazing to me. I did not look at the kid game nominees. This one, you have a little map of the forest, and you have little items that are out. So there's like, and they're made of Velcro. And then you have a hedgehog ball, also with Velcro all the way around, and you roll the hedgehog across the board and try and pick up items. It seems super cute. If my kids were a little bit younger, I'm sure this would be something that they would be excited to play.
So wait, what did you say? Did you say it's a spiel, an additional spiel nominee?
It's a winner. The winner for a kids game.
Oh, very cool.
So yeah, it has a little ball that you roll across the table to pick up items on the map. So
I think
you're supposed
the last
to
couple
you're
years
supposed to try and get some certain things. I think
kind of dexterity mm-hmm. based games, hasn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, last year
the Hava one.
Last year was the Hava game. It was the Viking.
Mm-hmm. Where you're like rolling a ball with a paddle and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, interesting, cool looking stuff.
Our next news item is from Board Game Geek. Every year they have convention preview games that are going to be at conventions, and there's a cool link that you can go and you can sort of see games that are going to be sort of shown off at the convention. Well, there's no conventions this year, what Board Game Geek is doing instead is a game release preview. They're dividing it into three categories. They have like a summer preview game releases, and they have like a fall, then they have a winter one. So you can actually go on BoardGameGeek.com right now. You can click the game release preview. It's nice and big icon on their front page, which is nice. And then you can look at all the games that are coming. And one of them, I think right now they have over 75 games already listed for summer releases, which is, you know, pretty cool.
That's
that you can still see what's coming. And you can look for that. Melissa.
So our next news item is a game from Funko Games. And it is Back to the Future, Back in Time. And this is available already, but it is a cooperative game for 2 to 4 players, plays in about an hour. And basically, you are trying to get the DeLorean built back in 1955 to get Marty back to his family, and so that his brothers and sisters don't get wiped out of existence and all of that. You can play as Marty McFly, Doc Brown, Jennifer Parker, or Einstein the dog. And it has some really cool components in it. I don't think it has any Funko Pops, though, even though it is coming from Funko Games, designed by Prospero Hall. Lots of cool nostalgia there if you like the Back to the Future movies.
I don't know what the components are, but I feel like it should come with a Polaroid that, like, develops as you go throughout the game.
That would be cool.
It does have a clock tower.
Very nice.
Well, our last news item is another item about the spiel, the Kenner spiel. One of the nominees is My City from Cosmos. We haven't played it yet, but you can pre-order it right now on barnesandnoble.com. And it's going to be available for purchase in stores there July 31st and then more widely distributed in October 2020. It's going to be retail for about $35, and you can learn more about My City Tames and Cosmos at tamesandcosmos.com.
Now let's jump into our Kickstarter conniption.
Kickstarter conniption.
This episode will be talking about seven games coming to Kickstarter the week of June 22nd, 2020. The first game I'm talking about tonight is Domination from Phalanx Games. This is from designer Wei Ching Cheng, and it is a heavy war game based on World War II that has been boiled down into a card and area control game. So think of some of those really heavy war games, but they have Wei Ching Cheng has melted it all down into a pretty simplified version of those big heavy games. In the game, you play as one of the powers in World War II, so you can choose from Germany or Japan, and then if you play a two-player, you'll play those two against United Kingdom and Russia. Otherwise, you can play three players or a four-player team game, and you will be using cards. You'll draft cards at the beginning of the year. You'll play the 6 years of the war unless someone can take out all the other powers first. And in the game, you'll play a card from your hand. They are kind of multi-use cards. You can just take the action. You can use it to upgrade some tech on your board so that you can do move your armies more efficiently across the board. Or if the card matches your faction, you can play an upgraded power. So in the game, you are moving your units across the board. You've got a naval fleet. You've got your armies with tanks. And then you also have an airstrike team. And you keep playing until if the Allies do not win by 1945, then the Axis powers take over and win the game. So Will and I had a chance to play this one, and we'll have a preview video up on our YouTube channel soon. Katie, what are you looking at?
I am looking at the Role Player Adventures by Thunderworks Games. This is a game that we got to play the other day and had a lot of fun playing it. It is a bridge game between RPGs and tabletop gaming, with it being mostly dice manipulation and card playing. And so it's got kind of this interesting element where you are working together as a team. It's cooperative. It's 1 to 4 players. You're working through these adventures. You're making decisions with these, with your other characters. It's all asymmetrical abilities. It's even got some deck building elements to it. As you like in the game, you gain gold for different rewards, and then you can buy items that add to your deck. You're working through making decisions as you go along. You're confronted with, different places on a map that you, travel with your token. And you hit these obstacles. You can choose to use items that you find. You gain things like titles, and, there's all sorts of things that really affect the way that the story gets told. So any past decisions that you've made may affect what's available to you in the future, which is really interesting, as far as like your ability to play the game. I feel like that part of the game probably makes it feel more like an RPG than some of the other types of games I've played like this. So this is it's really kind of different and interesting because of that. This is says it's from anywhere from 90 to 150 minutes to play. And I think that would depend on how fast your party can decide on what they want to do. Because we had a lot of back and forth when we played about who wanted to go to the beach and who would rather go to the farm. And, you know, anyway, but that's always a part of RPGs, too, is it takes forever to figure out what you want to get everybody to do. But this, again, is Role Player Adventures by Thunderworks. And Jonah, what do you have?
Before we go to Jonah, I don't know if you mentioned it. Maybe you did. I didn't hear it. One of the great things about this game is that it's an extension to the Role Player universe. So if you've played the Role Player game,
I forgot to mention that. Yeah, thank you, Will.
And the characters that you create in that game, you can transport over and use them to play with in this game. So if you've created a really fantastic character that's got a great mix of stats and you really like it, you've had a lot of fun with him and you've thought through backstory and all that good stuff in the Role Player game, then you can use that character in the adventures in this game, which is pretty slick.
Yeah, and the creators of the game, really Keith Mateka and Tim Vernig, we did an interview with them on our Board Games Launching on Kickstarter Facebook group, so you can head over there and watch that. They give a lot more in-depth information about the game.
I want to apologize right now on behalf of my neighborhood.
Is that what does it?
Continues to shoot off fireworks on June 18th at 10 p.m. I have no idea why this is happening.
But anyway, the explosion.
I was thinking somebody was hitting the table at your house.
If you're hearing pops or crackles, it literally is fireworks
in your backyard. We'll thank Ryan in advance for editing all those out.
I don't even know if that's possible. So.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to happen.
Jonah, what game were you looking at?
Cool. Yeah, absolutely. So coming to Kickstarter on June 23rd is the game Syndicate from PDU Games. If I'm not mistaken, it's the first game PDU Games is putting out. And it is an interplanetary conquest game. It's for 2 to 5 players. It realistically plays sometime between like an hour and 2 hours. Although I had the pleasure of playing it, and the first time that I played it, it took about 3.5. But I also was learning while I was playing, so you got to give me some slack on that one. But anyway, this game is actually really cool. I was pretty impressed playing through it. You're playing as the bad guys. All of the players are playing as the bad guys, and you're trying to conquer different bases that are kind of represented by different planets. Different bases are going to give you different income. And at the same time that you're fighting against the other players trying to conquer different bases, you also have to pay attention to the board, which is basically called the Sovereign, and basically stay away from them. Once every round, you're going to automatically have an event that the Sovereign has, which might be a tax or a penalty or something like that. And it's pretty hectic when that happens. And so you've kind of got to prepare for that as you play through the game. And the whole point of the game is to collect as much money as possible. And you can do that through missions and attacking other players and conquering different planets or bases. It really was a good time playing through that. Thank you, PDU Games, for giving us a preview copy. We actually also have a preview video coming for Syndicate. It's coming out on our YouTube channel very soon, so you can look out for that. But that is Syndicate from PDU Games, coming to Kickstarter on June 23rd. Sarah, what other games do you have?
Canopy is coming to Kickstarter, and this is a two-player tableau building game from designer Tim Eisner and art from Vincent Dutre. And this is coming to Kickstarter from Weird City Games. And this is a beautiful little tableau building game where you will be choosing from 3 different piles of cards. You'll look at the first one and decide, do I want to take this one? If you don't take it, you put the cards back and you add a card from the deck to it without looking. And then you go to the next pile and you Do the same thing until you choose one of the piles, or you just draw a single card off the deck. And you're going to add those cards to your tableau. And in the game, you're trying to build a canopy of trees. So you'll score points for having the tallest tree each round, and then having extra points at the end of the game for having the most trees. And then you'll also be adding other plants and animals from the rainforest to your area. So the animal cards all have different modifiers and abilities to other cards. And then the plant cards get scored every round, and then you'll move them off and start over with the plants. So there's a lot of set collecting involved, and giving points for having certain things in your rainforest. So this is a beautiful little two-player game that plays in about 30 minutes or so. And that is Canopy from designer Tim Eisner. Will.
I'm looking at In Too Deep from designer Josh Capel and Daryl Chow. This is coming from Burnt Island Games. This is one of the games I've been wanting to talk about for a while. The artwork for this game is sick. It's from Dominic Mayer. The theme for the game is super cool. You are a bunch of undercover cops who in the future have the ability, I think it's kind of like Matrix style, to like plug into other people, and you can plug into criminals who you will then take control over on the board. And in the game, you'll be making decisions on a lot of your turns. You'll have cards that kind of give you a, do you want to be the cop and take these actions and get, you know, lesser rewards like knock on the door, or do you want to kick the door down and rack up a couple of like potentially negative points at the end of the game, but higher rewards immediately. You play throughout the game. It's a little bit of a hand management abstract strategy game. It's not really abstract, but you're moving around the board trying to collect items, drop them in the right places, fulfill your missions. At the end of the game, whichever player has gone in too deep pretty much automatically loses. They will have to take all the negative points that they got. Their hope would be that the items that they've collected by being a dirty cop throughout the course of the game would give them enough points to score enough points at the end of the game to overcome that. So you've got this really nice balancing thing going on the whole time as you're making decisions, trying to figure out how much risk you want to take, how much reward you want to take. We have had a good time playing it, and I think Sarah and I are actually going to be doing a live playthrough of it this past Saturday in Time Travel World. So if you want to get a look at how the game plays, you can check that out on our YouTube channel or Facebook or
YouTube.
One of those. We'll have a link up to that, and you'll get a chance to see what the game actually looks like in action. We are playing with a prototype version of the game, which still looks pretty sharp, but judging by Burnt Island Games' game quality that they've had on their other games, I'm assuming that the finished version of this is going to be stellar. The artwork for it, like I said, looks amazing. Gameplay is about an hour. A lot of really cool stuff going on. Check out In Too Deep.
Yep, that one. One thing I enjoy about it is it has like five different storylines going on at once. And so you may or may not complete all of those. There's like an overall crime that's happening with a syndicate that you are trying to take down by the end of the game. So if you aren't able to collect enough evidence against them, then you lose. So it's got like an overarching storyline with that, but then individually you're trying not to get too deep with all these criminals. So
but trying to have control over a bunch of them, and there's a lot of cool stuff going on.
Yep.
All right, excellent stuff. Jonah, what are you looking at?
Yeah, absolutely. So coming to Kickstarter again on June 23rd is Intrepid. And this is from Uproarious Games, and it's also a space acquisition game. So I got two of those.
Dude's got the space skills.
Yeah, I actually think we've had an opportunity to play a lot of these games headed to Kickstarter this week. So yeah. Intrepid is also a game that we've had the ability to play, and it is pretty sharp. In fact, I'm looking at Board Game Geek right now, and it says the weight of Intrepid is a 4 out of 5. Mm-hmm. And I definitely remember playing, but I didn't remember it being that kind of heavy of a game. But it was fun. It was absolutely fun. I think if I'm not mistaken, there were different starting characters, which are actually countries that you start with, that were the weighted different. And I think maybe we played with the easier one since it was our first time.
I think you and Chantel played the easier countries the first time around because that was your first play. Will and I definitely took on a harder role because that was our second or third play.
Which is why I lost.
Yeah.
And blame it on what you want, Will.
Yeah, absolutely. I definitely remember even playing with you guys, we were barely going to make it out of the rounds. Like we barely won this game. So it definitely makes sense to me. But in this game, it's a strategic game, but it's also cooperative. It's like highly asymmetric. So everyone's kind of playing at the same time. You're playing as a country. You're rolling dice specific to how many dice you roll, kind of specific to the country that you are. It'll kind of tell you on your player mat and board. And then you're assigning the dice basically based on evens or odds, based on the number that you rolled, to different areas on your player mat that kind of give you different abilities. And it's a cooperative fact that the numbers that I roll or the even or odd dice that I roll probably don't benefit me at all, but they probably benefit one of the other players, one of the other countries that you're playing with. So you really need to work together to be like, hey, I've got a six here for you. If I give that to you, you'll be able to get this many points or this much money. But if I give you the six, I have to take a negative point. Or it really is a little kind of back and forth, but it was really cool. And even the leftover dice you can kind of put in the middle and anyone can use them while you're trying to basically play against the game with all sorts of monsters that come out and just all sorts of adverse actions. But anyway, we have a playthrough video of Intrepid, if I'm not mistaken. And Intrepid's coming to Kickstarter on June 23rd. That's from Uproarious Games. And it's a pretty good one. We enjoyed playing it. It was a really good time. So that's what I've got.
Definitely had some cool components too. Each player mat is like this giant dial that you rotate depending on like how I can't remember what the specifics were, but you like rotate it. And it makes all your numbers higher, so it makes it harder for you to play.
Everyone's controlling a system, basically, on the space station.
Yeah, and you've got to get like your oxygen high enough and your food high enough and your energy high enough. And then, you're all connected through the space station to each other. It was cool stuff.
It was a good one.
Will, what else are you looking at?
All right, so the last game in our lineup is called Not It, the Cryptid Hunters Edition from the Good Game Company. This is from designer Dave Urich. It's a quick, fast-speed dice-rolling game where you are trying to get rid of your cards first, or not necessarily first, but get rid of your cards as fast as you can in an attempt to bag a bunch of cryptid trophies. So in the game, one of the cool things about the game is it's a dice tower. You roll the box for the game is the dice tower, which is pretty slick. You roll the dice through the tower, they come out, and then you try to play a card that doesn't match any of the dice that popped up. If you are successful in that, then you get the card out of your hand. That's good. That's one less card you have. If you put down a card and it's wrong, because there's a pattern die, there's a color die, and then there's like a creature die. And if you match any of those, and the hunter, the guy who rolled the dice, catches you, then he gets to bag that trophy, and you have to draw a penalty card. And then at the end of the game, as soon as someone has played all of their cards, you tally up your totals, and it's basically the number of trophies you managed to collect minus the cards that are still left in your hand. So this is a crazy high-speed, fast, fun one. My kids have thoroughly enjoyed it. We'll have a preview video of it on our channel. Dave has actually produced an earlier version of this game that had a more of a kid-friendly theme to it. This is a little bit more grown-up theme, and he added a couple different rules to it, and I think he's like retooling the box and changing all the components in order to really up the quality of this game, and so he's bringing it to Kickstarter to make this new version. And he's going to be joining us right now in the house to kind of give us the lowdown on the Cryptid game, as well as maybe some other stuff that he's got going on. So let's go ahead and welcome him to the house.
Hey! How are you guys?
We are doing excellent. So glad to have you join us on the show. For those of you who don't know Dave, he's actually the owner of the Good Game Company, and we actually host our monthly game nights at his warehouse. So we kind of go way back. He's been a great supporter of ours at some of our events like Tantrum Con and some of our library days. So we're really excited to be able to have him on the show and talk a little bit about two games specifically. He's got several in his lineup. We already talked about one a little bit during our Kickstarter Conniption, and we'll talk about that a bunch more. But before we go into that, tell us a little bit about the Good Game Company, Dave.
The Good Game Company started officially probably 2 years ago under that umbrella brand of the Good Game Company. I've been in the business inventing games for almost 30 years, and mostly through inventing and then licensing to other publishers. But about 2 years ago, I decided to start my own company and publish my own games. And that's where we are today, and enjoying it a lot and having some success.
Very cool. Congratulations on that. It's been fun to watch as we've kind of side by side both grown both of our companies. You have a game that's coming to Target as a Target exclusive. Tell us about that one.
That's right. It's a game called Second Thoughts. It's a family party game, and I presented it to Target with the idea of them selling it as an exclusive, and through good fortune and good timing, they liked it, and really excited to have it hit the shelves probably around August 1st.
Very cool. I actually got to see the commercial, the intro video, I'm not sure what you'd call it, for Second Thoughts. It looks fantastic. Yeah. I think we've maybe played an older version of this. Is it? Am I correct that it's a reskin, a redesign of Wordy Word?
It definitely is. Wordy Word was the original name of it, and learned through a series of events that some buyers were concerned that the name was called Wordy Word because some people don't like word games. Now, some people love word games, but the reality of it is Wordy Word is not necessarily what you would consider a word game, like Scrabble or Upwords or Boggle. So after hearing that a number of times, it came about that it was probably best to reskin it, rename it. And upon that opportunity was when I approached Target about launching it with them exclusively under its new title and new design.
Well, cool. I'm glad that all lined up and worked out for you.
So far, yeah, so good.
Yeah. And now you have a game that you have reskinned and rethemed again and added some new components to it. And that is the Cryptid Hunters edition of Not It. Tell us a little bit about that.
Exactly. So I would say that as compared to Second Thoughts, being the game that's going to replace Wordy Word, because it's the same game. Not It is a game that I developed a couple of years ago and have done a print run on it. And the theme of it is kind of a fantasy land with ogres and dragons and unicorns and knights and princesses. And it's a cool little dice tower game that is fun for kids, but it also has a high energy level of quick thinking that is just a fun party game. But the idea that maybe the fact that it was so juvenile in its design, it was missing some opportunities to reach some other customers. So we created a new version of it with the theme of Cryptid Hunters. So now it has the likes of Bigfoot and Mothman and Chupacabra in it, and it has a little bit edgier theme with some rule changes that coincides with hunting and collecting cryptids, and really excited about how it's turning out and excited for the opportunity to launch it on Kickstarter tomorrow.
Woohoo! Yeah, he's got the time travel thing down. Way to go. Now, we actually have had an opportunity to play this. I think we're going to have a preview video of it on our channel. We had a chance a couple years ago, I think, to see the original Not It. And yeah, it's a really fun one that my kids have enjoyed. The coolest, the most novel part about the thing, the game, is that the game is a dice tower box.
Yep.
Everything fits in the dice tower box. There's like a cool little slide latch window on the back. And then you use the cards go in and everything, and then you use the box, the dice tower, for the game. And it is a high-speed game. It reminds me a little bit, I think North Star put out a game called Monster Match or something, and it's got a similar mechanic. I think you flipped it on its head where you're trying to not match what's on the dice.
Right.
And
that's a little bit of the aha moment about it is that to get your mind to find something that does not match is easier said than done, especially when you're racing to not be last, because if you are last, then therefore you are it, and you have to keep your card, which is a penalty. So that little element of speed is fun for all ages.
It is. It's a lot of fun. My kids have been playing it, and I was surprised by how many different strategies they could employ.
Yeah.
My youngest strategy is just, I'm going to immediately play this card. There's a 50-50 or a 33% yeah. chance or whatever that it won't be caught, yeah. and I'm just getting it out on the table no matter what, so that I don't risk being the last yeah. player.
That's how some people live their lives. Just go for it. You know what? And they just reap the benefits or the consequences. You know, as long as you're willing to fail, then that's a good way to live.
Yeah, yeah. He does pretty well. He wins probably half the time. And then my middle kid has this strategy where he just looks at the top card on his deck. And so when the dice come out, if that card matches, instead of looking at 20 different variables, he just looks at that one. Yeah. And yeah. if he can play it, he plays it. If he can't play it, okay, well, then he might be last as he looks yeah. through the rest of them. But
yeah.
it's fun. And yeah, it works great as an adult party game, too. It's a quick-thinking, fast-acting game
yeah.
And a lot of fun. Tell us, so you're going you're going live tomorrow.
Yep.
Tell us a little bit about the campaign and what all is going on there, and if you have any cool contests that our listeners should know about.
It's going live, and yeah, we're just excited about launching it. I mean, there's always the unknowns of what's going to happen, but we have high expectations, and we've set some stretch goals to include some new cool things for it. I mean, we're really raising the money to retool the box to make it a little better and to just increase the value of it. And if we hit some stretch goals, we're going to add better and cool components and some possible additions to the printing quality and whatnot.
Fun stuff. And then I think you did say that maybe you were going to be doing some kind of promo or something. What can our listeners jump onto?
All right. That's right. Well, I'm glad you asked about that, because indeed we are running a promotional campaign that we're going to be giving away 6 games to 5 different people. The games are some of my developments, Chunky Monkey Business, Idiomatic, Squad Up, Doodad, the Epic Beard Game, and the Not It Original Game. So we're giving away those 6 games to 5 different folks.
So you're saying a whole bundle, right? 6 games to each of the 5 people. Very cool.
Exactly. So we're giving away 30 games, if my math is right, 6 times 5. And we will bundle those up and ship them off to randomly selected people who do both of these things. Share hashtag Cryptid Hunters and share the link to our campaign. And we see you doing that, then you'll have a chance to win these games, which would be fantastic for us to give those to you, and we'd appreciate that effort on your behalf.
Cool, cool. So the campaign will go live tomorrow.
Yep.
Go copy that link. Use the hashtag Cryptid Hunters, you said?
Yep.
And cool. Have a chance to win a bunch of games from the Good Game Company. Well, excellent, Dave. Thank you so much for spending some time with us. Best of luck with this campaign. I'm looking forward to seeing this one on the table, because this is a really fun, it's kind of that like perfect gift size game. Yeah. Do you know what your delivery date is looking like?
Early fall. We have expectations to get it developed and have it in the hands of backers early fall.
Okay, cool stuff. So just in time for Halloween, right as the
That's
cryptids
right.
come
That's
out.
Right.
Perfect. All right, excellent stuff. Well, cool. And good luck on your Target launch as
Thank
well.
You.
Best of luck there. And then we'll be seeing you probably before this lot goes. I don't know what the last Monday of the month is, but we are looking forward to our next game night out there, and we appreciate that. And we'll be sure to check in and say
appreciate you guys very much for this opportunity just to talk about this and to be a part of your world, Tantrum House.
Yeah, thanks so much. We'll catch you on the next one. All right.
Bye.
Super fun having Dave on the show with us, getting to hang out and chat about his games. Hope he does well on Kickstarter this week, and very excited to see him back in Target with his Second Thoughts game. Cool stuff. All right. I think we can go from this segment into our next segment, where we invite and welcome Mike Davis to the house for another segment from the Mad Meeple.
Mike Davis is the Mad Meeple. Now it's time for why he loves it and hates it.
Hello, this is Mike Davis from the Game and Party Podcast, and this is the Mad Meeple segment. Today we talk about the game Orléans, or if you're from the South, it's Orleans. Orleans is a 2 to 4 player game. It plays in about 90 minutes. It's for ages 12 and up. It is from Tasty Minstrel Games, and it is a bag-building action selection game. And now, I'd like to share with you why I love this game. The first reason I love Orleans is it is a very variable game. That's right, there's a lot of replayability in this game. The map is set up different, you'll get different tiles each time, and when you draw things from your bag, of course, they'll be different each time. The second reason I love this game is every time you pull something from your bag, you may not get what you want, but you'll have some choices. There are so many different routes you can take. You can move your person along a road or a waterway, or you can move up on one of the many tracks. There's never a time you feel really stuck. And the third reason I love Orleans is you have to go up on multiple tracks. You can't just focus on one strategy. It forces you to do multiple things because there's a multiplier at the end game scoring. And now I'd like to share with you why I hate this game. The first reason I hate Orleans is there is a time when you get to the end of the game and you're doing a scoring and people go, oh, I didn't remember that multiplier you told me about. Yeah, I told you 3 times. And the second reason I hate Orleans is the theme. When I pull this out and try to convince people to play it, they go, oh, what's that about? Oh, some ancient game about an ancient city? That sounds like fun. But it's good, I promise. And the third reason I hate Orleans is when people cut you off on the roads and the waterways, and they take the spot, you knew I wanted that spot. Move. And that's it. That's why I love and why I hate Orleans. You've been listening to the Mad Meeple, Mike Davis.
Man, I have not actually had a chance, I'll admit, to play Orleans yet. It looks super cool. I've heard tons of good things. Anybody else played it? Is it just me?
Mm-mm. No. No.
Crickets on that one. All right, well, I guess we need to add that to our list and find out if all the pros are great and all the cons can be outweighed.
Yep, I'm a bucket list.
That is for sure. I think we're getting close to the end of this episode. We definitely need to talk about our game night coming up. We are going to be hosting our first in months in-person community game night. We are taking it slow, going a little bit small, but Dave has invited us out to hang out at his place again and play some games. We'll space the tables a little further, make sure we've got plenty of Clorox on site, but we're excited to be able to finally meet together, keep our numbers low, but have some definite fun. So if you are in the Greenville area, we'd love to have you guys come hang out with us the last Monday of this month, and assumedly next month, we'll see how things go. But yeah, back to the community game night.
Something else happening is our Kickstarter is successfully funded. Thank you so much to all of our backers. And if you happen to miss it, that's okay. We will open the Pledge Manager up in a couple more weeks. We will open it for our current backers to select their rewards, and then we will open it up to late backers. So even if you missed it, you can check us back out in July on GameFound and find all the goodies there.
Yeah, I'm sure we'll have some additional direction and instruction on how to do that. We're waiting for Kickstarter to make the transfer on all the funds. We have, I don't think we've placed the order yet, but we've already started looking at some of the materials that we want to pick up as a result of the campaign. We're looking at some nifty batteries that you don't have to change, that you could just leave in your camera so that when you do a 24-hour game-a-thon, I don't have to switch batteries every half hour on every camera in
yep,
the room.
That would be amazing.
I'm not excited about that at all. We also hit a couple of other cool stretch goals, and I don't know, Kevin, have you had a chance to think about some of the cool things that you volunteered for that we pledged for?
I already started the board game news segment, and already thought about the monthly Kickstarter wrap-up, what that's going to look like. That'll probably be a live YouTube show, probably do that at the end of the month, so I'll probably start that in July.
Very cool. I've been excited to see some new interviews that you and I think Sarah has been chiming in on. We mentioned the Thunderworks one.
There will be one also up if you're interested about Into Deep. That one will already be up on the Board Games Launching on Kickstarter group as well on Facebook. We'll be interviewing Josh Capel.
Yeah, so if you haven't jumped over and seen that Kickstarter page or that Facebook page, that's where Kevin kind of keeps a running tally of all the games in the whole world. or at least that he's aware of, that are coming to Kickstarter for forever. And it's a great place to be able to find campaigns that are current. And now we're doing some interviews there, which is great. So you can kind of get some inside scoops on some things. So check out that page if you haven't seen it. And then, as always, keep following us here at Tantrum House. We will be announcing dates for our 24-hour game-a-thon. We'll be announcing this Kickstarter fulfillment as it comes out. Thank you guys again so much for backing us, and we're looking forward to getting those rewards out to people. We've got plenty of legwork to do on our side as we finalize orders and get shipments out and things like that, but we're excited to be able to do that, to have the privilege of doing that as a result of you guys' support. So thanks so much for tuning in. Thanks for joining us for this episode. We'll see you guys in the next one. As always, stay healthy, have fun, play some board games. See you guys next time. Bye! Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Tantrum House Board Game Podcast. If you liked any part of this at all, find and follow us on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and tantrumhouse.com. Like us, share us, email us, call us, or send us a postcard to Tantrum House, 306 Barry Drive, that's B-A-R-R-Y, Greer, South Carolina, 29650.